to your blood. You look to your buddies. You look to your friends.
There's only a couple guys in the whole world that make me love pro wrestling, and you're one of them.
You know all the bad shit you heard about us? It's all true. But another thing that's true is we love professional wrestling, and that's why we're here. I'm not sports entertainment anymore.
Talk to him, kid.
This is a new beginning, and it starts tonight.
A new day is dawning for DX.
Know who you're talking to.
Welcome, everybody, to X-Pac 12360. I'm your host, Sean X-Pac Waltman. Today on the show, well, a little bit later on, we're going to speak to Jeff Cobb.
Yeah. Mr. Athletic, a.k.a. the Monster Matanza Cueto.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And I saw Josh Barnett, speaking of Jeff Cobb, I saw former UFC champion and catch wrestling specialist Josh Barnett this weekend at Black Settle Black Fest, you know, Glenn Danzig's.
That festival?
Yeah, and so he was telling me he had a match with Jeff Cobb recently. I'd like to ask him about that.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. That was the festival that they were trying to get the Lucha Underground Stars at, but
that just didn't
work out.
Yeah, I don't even want to go into that because I was trying to help Glenn out with that, and it just fell apart.
But did they get any wrestling at all or no?
No wrestling at all?
Oh.
And it was fine. It was strictly because Glenn Danzig is a big wrestling fan and a fan of Lucha Underground. It had nothing to do with it was going to make the festival any better.
It was just like a bonus for him.
Yes, yes, okay. That's all. And everyone joining us here, have a little panel going here.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the way on the other end of the table here from Uprox with Spandex. Bill Hanstock, ladies and gentlemen.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for having me back. 2 weeks in a row.
Welcome back.
And hey, and first time joining the show, Johnny LaQuasto. He does a lot of things. Are you still on Wrestling Compadres?
Yeah, Fox Sports.
Yes.
Every single week. And also Championship Wrestling from Hollywood,
That's
which
right.
you know very well.
Absolutely.
Commentary every single week. So a lot of fun. And I'm also wearing spandex. What are the odds?
You're also an athlete, aren't you? And a personal
trainer
or something?
I'm a physical therapist. I help athletes recover from injuries, but no, I would not call myself an athlete. I was the last guy off my bench in college basketball. I had 10 career points. It's a sad career.
He's an athlete facilitator.
Yeah.
And TK Trinidad, she's here with us right now, but last week she was involved in a car accident.
Like a near-fatal car accident.
Yeah, it was really bad.
It's insane. If you look at the picture of her car, flipped and landed on top of itself, and she only walked away with like a scratch on her finger.
Because she's a brick house.
And I think the car was safe. Is it a Volvo? My God. Thank God.
TK's an athlete.
Yes,
yeah.
She is.
Yeah.
So she's fighting with insurance companies at the moment.
Yeah. She'll be back for the Jeff Cobb interview.
I'm sure.
Could I ask about the Danzig Fest?
Yeah, man.
This is Danzig, Mother Danzig.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, my God. How great was that festival?
It was great. And the really cool thing is before Danzig went on, Ministry was on. I got to see them do New World Order live.
Lord, no way! Oh man, that's incredible.
It was nice. I had a great time. And what else?
Where was that?
It was out on some
like Irvine.
Yeah, it was out in Irvine because I was trying to get Mark Donica to drive me out there.
Sean, my car wasn't a piece of garbage. I would have done it.
I was like, hey, Mark,
you like
we got
like
backstage
this?
Passes, VIP parking.
Honestly, the worst decision I had to make was like, I don't think my car would make it.
I don't want anybody to see me driving up in the hoopty.
He just goes and rents a car to take you there.
No,
damn it, that's a good idea, Jimbo. Where were you last weekend?
Sorry.
No. Yeah,
I was like, get high, watch wrestling.
No, I was thinking about you, Mark, because I know you dig that stuff.
Fuck yeah, missing Danzig like that broke my heart.
Okay, I would have driven you both. Why do you guys? That's another idea, for God's sake.
So,
putting it out there.
You know, without TK here with doing the news
segment
first, I'm kind of discombobulated. What do you want to talk about right now, everyone?
Let's talk about Get High Watch Wrestling on
Let's
Friday.
Do that.
Another sold out show, number two. It was excellent.
Yeah, and we were joined this time. Last time, Brian Posehn joined us.
Whoa.
Yes, and that was really cool. And then last Friday, I was wondering, when I got there and I arrived and I was talking to everyone, I'm like, maybe we don't have a comedian joining us this time. And then, like, you know, right as we were getting ready to go out, Ron's going, oh, yeah, Mike. And Mike Lawrence, who was the comedian that sat in with us. He's amazing, man. I'm a huge fan of
him. He was so funny.
Yeah, he killed it. Those two killed it.
When are you guys getting Doug Benson on it?
Whenever Doug said he was going to do it.
Nice.
Yeah, because when we were on Get Doug with High,
right.
He said he was definitely going to come do it. And it's just, we doing it on a Friday or Saturday, everyone else is, you know, all booked. My friends and, you know, even Ron's.
Has got four shows on Friday.
Yeah. Right? So
we're on the road too.
Well, yeah, you know how that goes, Johnny.
Yeah, I'm not in town that often on weekends, but I'd love to come to the show. Once a month, or how does it work?
Yeah, it is. And the next one's going to be June 21st,
Wednesday,
and that's a Wednesday, and that means most people are probably home, right?
That's a guaranteed
and they
sellout.
Can show up,
guaranteed sellout.
Yes,
and it's all Glow themed, ladies that's wrestling right. theme for the Glow debut. Nice.
You know, I actually got to go to the premiere of that documentary a couple of years ago, and I got to tell you,
that's in a family, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I was there too.
In Silver Lake.
Oh no, a different one. But continue.
Maybe there were a couple, but I went to one in Silver Lake. Not a dry eye in the house, and I guess that's where Genji Cohen got the inspiration from that documentary to make the Netflix show. Because she didn't know anything about wrestling, but she watched it, and it was such a compelling documentary. She's like, "I'm going to turn this into a TV show."
I saw the trailer, and it looks like they did it. Excellent job. This looks like one hell of a show.
It looks so fun.
The only bummer about it is that they're not using any actual Glow. Like the people in the Glow show aren't the characters from Glow.
Well,
there's not going to be a Little Egypt and a Mount Fuji and a Hollywood and Vine kind of thing.
I understand it. But it would be so much cooler of a Glow show. Because those characters, like, it's hard. Like, even if you're making it up. It's like, hard to get characters more ridiculous than
the Housewives.
Exactly. Yeah.
They're so awesome. And I think
Nanochka.
Yeah, Nanochka, yeah.
And I think every guy has a different one they had a crush on growing up.
For sure.
Like, I know I love Cheyenne, the Native American girl. That was mine.
One of them from Hollywood and Vine was really beautiful to me when I was a kid.
Jeanne Versoni, her name is. She's great. Yeah, she's really cool.
And so. Also, like, if you were using, like, the actual characters in the actual history of Glow, you could get the fact that like Sylvester Stallone's mom was such a big part of it. Like that's a huge part of the story. That's like, it's like the Glow thing. If you watch the documentary, it's like you can't possibly make up how ridiculous Glow is.
No, but look at all the things that like people like if you watch wrestling today or WWE wrestling, they're using a lot of the same type of things that Glow was doing back then, like all the backstage segments and. You know, the campy comedy stuff. I mean, not just WWE, but a lot of people have, you know, attempted to emulate that.
Like, I wish that El Rey Network would take, like, the Glow characters and do, like, a Lucha Underground style, like, Glow, modern day Glow.
But with good wrestling.
Yeah, with good wrestling, where you take, like, the characters and, like, you put, like, you know, Rachel Ellering or, like, Sexy Star or whatever in those character gimmicks. And then, like, do, like, the backstage cinematic thing where it's like, no, this is all really happening.
But make it comedic, story. Is what you're saying.
Well, I mean, there's going to be comedy anyway. Like, if you watch Lucha Underground, there's a lot of comedy anyway. Like, Dario Cueto's got a lot of comedy in him.
Yeah, more so than usual.
Marty Martinez. Like, I mean, you can have it be serious and campy at the same time, which Lucha Underground's great at.
Most of the comedy still comes from Famous B, in my opinion, from the show.
Sure, yeah.
And the Mac. You talk about the Mac, too, but you talk about a show that uses people to their strengths. No one does it better than Lucha Underground. I've known B for years, and he's just always been that character, and they just found the perfect thing for him. This is a great example.
I like that. Hey, we were originally talking about Get High and Watch Wrestling. Do you want to go to that clip? It seems like I'm kind of going backwards a little bit.
It's your show, man. You do what you want.
Yeah, I know, but I like for the flow to be right.
So I just shot some stuff on my phone while we were hanging out there and threw it together to show people what it's like when you're at Get High and Watch Wrestling.
It was very cool. Some people came all the way from Georgia.
Yeah, there was this couple. Yes. We'll play it.
So are we going to play the video?
Oh, hell yeah. Here we go. Okay.
I thought you were going to throw to it.
This is the primary highlight of our vacation. We were wanting to have an awesome food and comedy show. And
they came all the way from Georgia.
And we booked it, and we're super excited because I love The Generation X. I'm a huge wrestling fan. I'm dragging him into it, kicking and screaming. But
how often does that happen?
And, getting high and watching.
It's a
wrestling.
Keeper.
Awesome. Oh, I can't give her this. It's just a little roach.
Is that Funches?
Yeah.
He's so skinny.
Oh, yeah, he's lost a lot of weight. And there's me and Lula.
I didn't want to do this out back here, but I found some stuff that I think might belong to you.
That's the actual one?
Those are my multivitamins. I'm gonna need those. It's nothing more recovering meth addict than a dude who's just like now started carrying around a dog in a bag.
She's amazing, honestly. Like, people say, oh, the dog lucked out. I'm the one that lucked out.
Aww, that's a beautiful dog.
She's amazing. And you know what? Like, honestly, she's like, she likes this right now. Honestly, like, from how I found her, she'll be happy in pretty much any situation. So, she just pissed on me.
All right,
yeah,
that's
really
another
one. She likes this. Yeah, that's.
All right, that's the second time I cried in my adult life.
He shook a little bit. I saw.
No, there's so many things like we like to do as comics, and there's some things we love to do. This is everything I love about.
Come
comics.
On, Jimbo, with the F bombs, man.
You want me to bleep those?
Yeah, all man, right. We can't have F bombs on the show. Lawrence, being that getting high and watching wrestling, we got two words for you.
Fantastic. Looks like a blast. I can't wait to
It is really fun.
I'm looking forward to going to the next one.
Yeah, I hope you guys can make it. Yeah, since it's on a Wednesday, hopefully you guys don't have anything going
we'll
on.
Just go right after AfterBuzz.
Exactly. You should get me in. What's interesting about I haven't seen Funches in a couple of months in person, and the last time him and I were talking, I was like, man, you look great. He's like, yeah, you know, I just really wanted to get healthy, and he looks like he got even better shape since then.
Yeah,
he's
continuing
fantastic.
To lose weight.
And, yeah. Wow, good for him. And Lawrence, I've known him for a long time. He's hilarious and brilliant, great comic, and he's been a lifelong wrestling encyclopedia too. So,
yeah. Are any comics that you know of that you think would fit in perfect for this?
To be as guests or to come and hang out?
Either
or watch?
Way.
So many. Yeah. Are you kidding me? Like, there's
does
something.
Does Carmel watch wrestling?
I know he's so, a sports guy. Yeah. I don't know about wrestling per se, but comedy and wrestling have so many parallels, especially early in the in your career. You're driving everywhere, not getting paid. It's a rough go. And also, you get screwed over a lot as you're working your way up. So there's a deep respect, like, between comedians and wrestlers. And that's why, you know, there's a kinship there. It's like wrestlers love comedy because if you're a pro wrestler, you have to laugh. Otherwise, it's going to be a rough go. And comedians love wrestlers because of the sacrifice they make.
Brody Stevens.
Yeah, Brody doesn't necessarily watch now, but Brody definitely knows all about wrestling. And part of the Brody Stevens character... Right.
It's
is very
so
pro wrestling.
It's
yeah.
So good.
I think he would be perfect for it as well. Absolutely. There's so many people. I can give you a list.
We should try and get a female comic for the Glow one.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Barbara Gray.
Yes, Barbara Gray has done a lot of cool pro wrestling inspired things. She's
fantastic.
She was
fantastic. Part of the Iron Sheik roast and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll give you a look into that. I'm sure Ron knows all the comedians that love wrestling too. So, hey, and getting into a little bit of news, I heard you guys talking about we were talking about money in the
money
women's
in the
money
bank.
In the bank, right?
The first ever women's money in the bank match.
Yeah, and when is that? This coming week?
June 18th.
Yeah. It's got Natalia, Becky Lynch, Tamina, Snuka, Charlotte, and Carmella. Five.
For now.
Oh, you think they're going to add some people to it?
The women's roster.
On SmackDown.
Call someone up or...
Yeah, Nia Jax made a joke on Twitter about that.
Lana's been dancing, I'm just kidding.
She's been stretching the legs out to climb the ladder.
Lana wants to wrestle so bad.
That's true.
And I just don't think that's the right thing for her. But you know what? I don't think she's going to be happy until she does, because she worked hard learning how to be a pro wrestler.
Sure.
To do this. And so I get it. I've told her this, like, in interviews I've done with her and, like, in private, like, several times before that. I look at her kind of like Miss Elizabeth, and I never wanted to see Miss Elizabeth in the ring wrestling.
Right.
Well, Lana's such a great performer and a very good actress, and obviously she's a professional dancer as well, but she's the kind of person that could run a show. Like, you could put her as general manager, and, okay, yeah, I'll listen to you. You're a boss. So I understand your point there.
Yeah, she is a boss, and she, you know, she's of like the quote unquote millennial generation, but she grew up and spent a lot of time in Eastern Europe.
Sure,
yeah,
you know, Russia. I mean, you know, and just she was raised a little different, and she's got an incredible work ethic, just insane.
But you can understand when someone wants to do something.
That's right.
It's hard to tell them not to.
Yeah, and I knew last time I talked to her was on tomorrow's show with Kevin Undergaro, and I was mentioning that again to her how I really didn't see her as, and she was pretty adamant. Mm-hmm. And that's cool. And she should do what she wants.
Well, it's a similar situation.
Not what I wanted.
Right. Well, about a year and a half ago, Alex Riley would jump on Compadres all the time. And he would tell us, you know, I want to get back in the ring. He said, and he flat out said, he goes, I understand me getting back in the ring might make me lose my job.
Yeah.
But it's just something I have to do. And he did get back in the ring. Unfortunately, it wasn't too long before he was released. But he said, this is something I'm willing to take the risk on. He's like, I know I have a stable job as a commentator, but it's just not what I want to do.
Like, I think Lana's in the same situation. Not that she's going to lose her job if she doesn't.
No.
I think that she's been talking about it and asking for it and demanding it so much that at this point, if there's ever a time for her to not put her with Rusev right now, it's right now, where they've both gone over to SmackDown and they want to potentially make Rusev a world title contender, which would be a great idea. And it'll be easier for Rusev to get over no matter which alignment they put him in without Lana to start with.
Yeah.
So I think this is the time. So I think that they're thinking, if we're ever going to see if Lana will stick as a wrestler, it's now. And I think that they're going to give it a shot. And if she doesn't stick as a wrestler, then she'll go back to being a manager, because she's too talented and too well rounded and too valuable. Yeah. And she's also on Total Divas now. So, I mean, she's not going to lose her job if she doesn't work out as a wrestler, because she's so good in all of her other capacities.
Yeah.
So I just think it's just like now or never is a good chance. And we'll see what happens with it.
Yeah,
it's kind of like going backwards. Is she's learning the wrestling aspect of it now. She already has all the mic skills and everything else, the look and the character.
Here's the thing, though. She learned that wrestling stuff back in like FCW, NXT, when it was still in Tampa. I saw her there. So it's not like she had just now said, I want to be a wrestler.
It's been a couple of years. Yeah.
It's that she started out doing it, and the role they created for her just didn't include that part.
Didn't fit that lane.
Yeah, and she worked hard at it, and so she wants to.
One of my very close friends was part of that group of 12 women about 3 years ago who were chosen to audition. And she's actually a very good friend of Lana in real life, going back to their college days.
Was she one of the the girls that was in the
Cowgirls?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. She's like a sister to me. And she was telling me all about her. And I said, wait, did you say she's fluent in Russian? And she goes, yeah. I go, oh, she's in.
You know what?
She's beautiful. She speaks Russian. Oh, it's going to happen for her. And sure enough, it did.
And she also she got the job in part because she did break dancing at her.
That's another thing. Like, there was a. She wanted to do this. She wanted her character to branch off into like some kind of a breakdancer character at one point.
Yeah,
and I was like, no, no,
I mean,
don't do it.
She just one thing that I admire about her is like she's really. She loves the things that she loves and wants to do.
Got it.
And she's passionate about it and keeps putting it out there. And I respect that.
I do too.
And Eva Marie was the same way. Like, I'm a huge Eva Marie fan, and she was way up front about the fact that she didn't know how to wrestle, which is why she was so interested in going back down to NXT and learning the actual wrestling
part. Yeah.
And then when she came back up, she was so passionate about, let's harness what I have. And, man, I'm so bummed out that she's not going to be around anymore.
So that's
did they let her go?
Allegedly. They haven't officially parted ways with her yet.
I don't think I'd give up on her.
I would neither. It's so rare. It's so exceedingly rare for someone to generate that kind of heat from everyone, no matter what. She's got like Roman Reigns heat for a woman. Like, that doesn't happen. That's amazing. And to be able to let that go, I think it's a mistake.
And that brief moment where they had that voice of God announce for her that why she couldn't make
it. That was just such a brilliant genius. Gimmick. So brilliant. Yeah. And I'm just so upset.
Are you really?
Yeah, I get worked up about it because I'm a huge Eva Marie fan, and I think that what she has and the way that fans feel about her is legitimately invaluable in professional wrestling right now.
Yeah, and I mean, you don't have to be – there's a lot of positions in the WWE that don't involve getting in the ring as well.
Yeah.
So
that was her whole gimmick, was she never – she would come out for a match and then never end up wrestling for one reason or another, and that's so smart.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah, it was going to be tough. I knew it was going to be tough for her when they discovered her. Or when they didn't discover her, she put herself in the right place at the right time.
Right.
So, but
with the five women in this match, who do we think has the chance to take it?
I just can't wait to see it. I mean, SmackDown just keeps getting better and better. And granted, you put two ladder matches on any pay-per-view, Raw or SmackDown, it's going to be amazing. But you look at these five, wow, they're going to put it together. And I'm really excited to see it. I mean, of course, Charlotte's first in the picture, as she should be.
Huh. What about? So you think Natty, do you think they're going to
do anything with her?
Yeah.
I don't know. She might get it. I think Ellsworth is going to help Carmella win it.
You do?
And Carmella's going to bling it out, and she's going to tease about like what show she's going to go to cash it in.
Yeah.
I have a hard time believing the first ever women's ladder match is not going to be won by Charlotte. Just because you could argue she's already one of the best women of all time.
I think it's also they could do a play on the fact that Brett and Shawn had the first ladder match in WWE, and then Brett's always talked about how Shawn stole the idea and used it with Razor, and you could play off of that and have Natalya vindicate her and the Hart family's legacy in ladder matches and stuff. But I think the only bummer at all about this is that this is the entire women's division except for the champion. So like with the Money in the Bank for the men, like granted the men's division, they only ever focus on like 12 to 15 wrestlers at a given time and that's including the tag division, so it's a little bit like, oh, one out of these five and all of them have gotten title shots already, like gets the briefcase and then anytime in the next year can challenge Naomi or whoever's holding the title. Like, it's a little bit less exciting of like having a Mrs. Money in the Bank, but I think it's really cool. But like, that's the only drawback, and it's not that big of a drawback. Is like the women's division's so small.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily a drawback in the case that SmackDown has been surprising people with their wins and their victories and who's taking what championship. And I legitimately think that every single woman in this match has the ability and the possibility to win it. Just for the sake of SmackDown surprising fans once again.
Sure.
I agree with that.
I think that, honestly, if I had to pick right now, I'd say Tamina Snuka's going to win the match. Just because no one expects it.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
That'd be crazy.
Well, Sean, what do you think? I would think Naomi has to be a little bit bummed that she is a champion and can't take part in this match.
Yeah.
She has to sit on commentary or just kind of watch, you know?
Huh. Maybe she should be on the hook holding the briefcase.
I saw her interview. Does she have a new catchphrase, Naomi? Like something about the glow?
Feel the glow.
Oh, okay. I'm going with Charlotte. I'm with Ila Quast.
It's hard to not. And now, granted, you and I might be way off in this, but how do you not pick her?
Yeah.
I mean, she's in a short matter of time, in a couple of years, she's become the best one there is.
Probably the best. Yeah.
I'm
constantly. I'm constantly impressed by Carmella, and I'm constantly bummed out that she doesn't get a bigger reaction from the fans, because she does everything well, and she's with a good heater in Ellsworth, and every time she comes out, it's just like...
Ellsworth will go through a ladder, by the way. He will definitely go through a ladder.
I'm looking forward to that.
And I think you're right, but honestly, this may sound stupid. I think it's her music is part of it. I don't think her music does her any favors. It's slow to start.
I'm sure it contributes, but it's not like the vaudevillains music that would completely kill the crowd, where it's like the guy comes out with the carnival barking, and then there's the intro music, and then there's the actual music, and then they come out like that. I watched crowds just like the gather around, ladies and gentlemen, and people are like, oh, it's the vaudevillains, and then there's like 45 more seconds before they actually come out.
I mean, hey, since we're already talking about the SmackDown brand, you guys watched SmackDown yesterday?
Yep.
What'd you think?
Great. I mean, New Day came back. This was announced. Main event was fantastic.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Ziggler and AJ.
AJ.
Was that a surprise to anyone?
No.
I don't know what they're doing with Ziggler.
Well, here's the thing. It's the Money in the Bank is, 3 weeks away? So they're essentially going to have to do a mix and match between all these six guys, just like they did on Raw leading up to the Fatal 5-Way. So
you
going
have to position
in,
all of them like they're all threats. And Ziggler hasn't won a match in months.
Yeah, That was proper to throw him a bone like that.
For sure. And also, AJ Styles is in his hometown, and we know how that goes.
Yeah, I said that last night, and a bunch of people had to, just couldn't wait to correct me. Well, Naomi won. It was her hometown, and this person. Yeah. Of
Did you ever have one of those situations where you like it was a big deal made about your hometown, and then you had to wrestle a big match in that?
It's called SummerSlam 2000 or 99, and it was Kane and I versus Undertaker and Big Show in Minneapolis.
Yep.
And Jesse Ventura was the governor at the time.
I remember. I actually watched that the other night, and that's right. Ventura was he was laying down the law throughout the entire pay per view. He argued with a lot of people that night.
It's the body's way. It's my way or the highway.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So that I have experienced that, and I've been on the other end of it too. Where one time we had Raw in Atlanta at the Georgia Dome. That was like 30,000, 40,000. It was insane. And I had a singles match, and I saw it listed on there. It was a single match versus Ron Simmons, and that's his hometown, you know. And of course, I had beat Ron clean, right in the middle, 1, 2, 3.
Damn.
So, and Ron was just so good about it. And Ron and I did the exact same match that we did every single. I hate to say it, but nobody.
It works.
Yeah.
Well, that's the benefit of doing the live events and the house shows and the stuff that's not televised, is you can do the same match every night.
We did the same match, whether it was on TV or not.
You know,
and nobody noticed.
So I was just in Pakistan 2 weeks ago. It was the first ever live pro wrestling events in the history of Pakistan. Yeah. I was doing commentary. And the booking was a little strange. Some guy from France was in charge of the booking. And he booked this one guy who's 53 years old and just had a hip replacement. I'll be honest, he shouldn't have been in the ring. But he was. But the way they booked the match was there was another heel, a guy from France who spoke no English. He just kept running away, and this guy's music, the guy, the hip replacement, was the like that song, got the whole audience to do it, and he just kept dancing, no joke, for 10 minutes while the guy from France would get on the microphone and scream at everyone to shut up. And the match ended up being like 4 minutes long, and it was like the hottest match of the night every single city we went to.
I had a match on the... all around the loop with Bob Backlund like that.
It works. Yeah.
He ran around getting the people all worked up for like 5 minutes without us touching, running into the crowd, back over the rails, comes back in the ring, and then ends up getting me into chicken wing.
It's amazing. The guy would go, this dude would go up the ramp, back the ramp, grab the mic, scream, go out near the crowd, and just flip out for 8 minutes while the guy just danced in the ring.
And then everyone else is out there trying to wrestle and... hear the crickets.
Yeah. I mean, this poor guy couldn't wrestle. I mean, he did it. It was rough. But they made it work.
He was a showman, though.
Wrestling's the least important part of wrestling.
Yeah. Wrestling isn't wrestling, right? Max Landis?
Yeah.
Very true.
I'm not Max Landis.
Seriously. What else?
I know.
What else, you guys?
What else from SmackDown did you guys enjoy?
I mean, the two big announcements, New Day. I love everything the Usos do.
Yeah, Breezango and Usos are both the highlights of...
Did you like the... How about the Breezango, like the little skit they
had? The detective. It was
like Fuji Vice, except for, you know, 2017. No,
they're great.
I feel like those two have such a strong voice in these segments. I imagine there's one or two guys that are, you know, working with them in it, but you're really seeing their sense of humor in it and their performances. And Tyler Breeze is straight up cross dressing now, and hey, good for him.
Yeah,
good like for him. Just the fact fine. That Tyler Breeze is doing like two costume changes per match now is
great.
I have a feeling like they're on a Damian Mizdow trajectory right now.
Similar, yeah.
Hopefully they don't get completely nuked like he did, but they're just like they're getting so over with this, and I just hope it continues.
Yeah,
It is. It's so much. It has a lot of that same flavor as the Mizdow thing. But I think that there's more upside to this.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, because there's two of them. Yeah. They're in a real tag team. There's not like intrigue of like, oh, when's he gonna? Because the whole story of Mizdow was like, when's he gonna finally turn on Miz? Yeah. Like that was the entire story, and they never did it right. Like they've held off on it forever, and then his big moment was losing the Andre.
Yeah.
And people forget how incredibly talented in the ring Breeze and Fandango are, because for a long time we didn't really see them. And at the last pay-per-view, I got it mixed up. You saw they went from comedy to being competitive in a matter of seconds, which is so hard to do. And they're both fantastic in the ring, too. So,
yeah.
Do you think they take the titles off the Usos?
No. I think the Usos are so good right now, I feel like they should keep them for a long time.
Yeah.
Yes, and the Breezango is not the kind of team that you would put the tag team titles on for more than like maybe a week,
I think
for a feel good moment or something maybe.
And I think
at most,
Breezango's getting so much good momentum, and they're positioning, like, even though they're both not straight men, they're positioning Tyler Breeze as the even goofier member of the two. I think it could potentially turn into a sort of situation where you have Fandango break out again and Tyler sort of second him.
Yeah.
And maybe have Fandango challenge for, like, the United States title or something, with Tyler Breeze in his corner putting on disguises and trying to help his buddy, you know, win stuff.
He's the referee. Now he's the opponent. Yeah.
Now he's the timekeeper. Yeah, like... Now he's the announcer. He just dresses up like
that'd be great.
Corey Graves.
They need a t-shirt, man.
Oh, they'll get one soon.
They need to hop on that.
This is happening. I think they're probably going to get, like, a Fashion Files shirt or
absolutely a Fashion Police shirt. There's an easy parody logo waiting to happen.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Hey, is there anything on Raw that...
Not that I know of.
No?
Johnny, you're the Raw guy. Yeah. I mean, Raw, from what I hear, hasn't been that great as of late.
I'm not going to say that. look, it's if I didn't love it, I wouldn't watch everything. You know what I mean? It's just it was a go-home show leading up to the pay-per-view. So you can't really make a lot happen because the card's pretty much set.
Which was shocking that it was the go-home show, because, like, last week it felt like it was still, like, 2 or 3 weeks away.
Yeah, well, it's every other week now.
But did you guys like Joe and Balor?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you get those two, it's going to be phenomenal. Yeah. The hard question to really decipher is who is actually going to win the Fatal 5-Way, because you could really make a case for all five.
Yeah.
The easy answer is Roman Reigns, but...
Yeah. I think everyone wants Finn versus Brock, though.
What about early on? There was the tag situation. The Hardys were involved, and...
That's going to be a cage match, and they're going to tear it down. Yeah. I still think the Hardys hang on to it. I don't really know... I kind of stopped paying attention to the legal aspect of... What's going on with them and
the
Anthem?
Broken thing?
Yeah, because it just if I keep reading it, it makes me more and more upset that it's not the thing.
That's the weird thing about that is I understand, like, when a talent does that, when one of us, like, gets pissed and vents on social media, but, like, you know, as the head of the company, what are you doing?
I don't know.
You know what the F are you doing? Like,
it's gone back and forth. Up. I don't know who from. I know Zeb has been very vocal on social media. Him and Rebby have been fighting back and forth, which I don't think is a smart thing for him to do.
But at least Seb's doesn't own the company.
No. Has Anthem been shouting a lot, too?
Yeah, the owner of Anthem...
he's the, like, one that released the contract.
Yes.
Yeah. Just all the silliness.
Wow, that is it.
All the dirty laundry.
That is not a smart thing to do at all, no. But okay.
Is that the first Don Henley poll on this...
on this show.
Wow. Well,
but... Yeah.
I understand. I understand Hardy's wanting to fight over this one.
So do I.
It obviously they create. That's a Matt Hardy creation. Come
in
on,
your opinion, you've been
long.
In the business for so many years. You've followed it from beginning to end. When I watch this, I don't think there's any. Maybe obviously Jeremy Borash was heavily involved.
Right.
But other than that, I have a hard time believing anyone on the TNA creative team had a hand in creating the whole thing.
But that's the legality of
ownership and I know
employment, like it's all going to come down to one: are the TNA contracts actual, like, legit contracts? Because the portions that he released, the portions that the Anthem president himself released, are like, this doesn't look like any contract anyone's ever seen. Because almost like any contract you'll ever sign for anything in any walk of life, the first paragraph of the contract is like, this contract lays out all of the conditions. The first paragraph of this TNA Anthem Impact contract said, this contract does not claim to state all of the conditions under which... So it's basically saying, like, it might cover everything, it might cover nothing. Who can say? So it's like...
So it's more of a deal memo than a contract.
Yeah, actual lawyers were looking at this and they're like, this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So it's all about the legitimacy of the contract, whether the contract was, like, actually, like, well-written or written accurately or anything. And the other thing it comes down to is whether a judge is going to determine, is Broken Matt Hardy just a part of Matt Hardy, which predates his, which he owned Matt Hardy. Is it just another version of that gimmick, or is it a new creation? Because if the contract is legit and if it is a new creation, there's no question it belongs to Impact. Because regardless of how involved Impact was, he made it while under contract to Impact to air on Impact television.
Right.
So they would own it. If those two things are accurate, they would own that character.
Yeah, for sure.
Nonetheless, still not a good thing to tweet that contract.
Really what I was saying is I understand the desire to fight over this when you created it, regardless of how it plays out legally. I get
the effort,
that.
The effort they put in. If you watch Apocalypto, where they did everything, you know, all the Impact ratings, their best rated episodes in 2016, they can't deny it was all because of Matt and Jeff.
Sure. And that's why they want to hold on to it, even though they're not going to do anything with it ever. They cancel shirts or anything. Like, they still want to hold on to it. But I think that it's smart of Matt Hardy to be litigious in this case, not just because he has a claim to it, and especially in his mind, a very legitimate claim to it, but also because if it's Matt Hardy going after them, there's a much greater chance of everyone reaching a settlement, as opposed to right now, as we talked about last week, like, WWE is a one-buyer market, and yes, that gives Impact the leverage. So they're like, we'll give you $500,000 for it. They're like, nope, then that's all there is to it, you know?
Yeah. I don't know if this has anything to do with anything, but I know, like, Matt's claimed, okay, there was never release assigned for Maxell.
Or for Senior Benjamin.
And that's no shock to me whatsoever, because probably 70, 75% of the appearances I did for them, for pay-per-views or TV, they never had me sign a release. Right. They forgot, or they're too disorganized.
Sure. Yeah.
So that doesn't shock me at all.
And we also can't forget Maxwell Hardy's the only undefeated baby in professional wrestling history. So.
Nope. Kevin Owens' son.
What? Oh, yeah. He beat Excalibur.
Excalibur at PWG show.
Oh, boy. That's a feud waiting to happen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That'd
Owen
be great.
Versus Maxwell.
Oh, crap.
And probably Kenny Omega lost to a baby, I'm sure, at some point.
Yeah, you would think.
If it hasn't happened yet, it's bound to.
Hey, so I guess that's pretty much it for news, right? Is there anything else? Hey, Donica, is there anything else?
There's some smaller stuff. Tommaso Ciampa going in for surgery this week. He'll be out for a couple of months after the huge feud that happened at the end of NXT TakeOver, which we talked about last week. And then rumors that John Cena may be coming back July 4th. Those were kind of the biggest things of the week, aside from what we already talked about.
Anybody want to comment on any of that?
I mean, I know, Bill, you mentioned that it might be an ACL issue with Tommaso Ciampa. That's, God, that's so unfortunate. So I'm a physical therapist. I can tell you, if you have ACL surgery, you're out for quite some
time. Like 6-8 months, right?
Yeah.
Maybe even longer.
If it's a clean ACL, you can come back 100%. Look at how many running backs have done it. Jamal Charles, so many people, and a lot of wrestlers have too.
Seth Rollins.
The question is, how did he tear the ACL? When did he do it? How bad is the tear? Is it only a slight tear where they just have to go in and tighten things up a little bit? That's a much quicker recovery. But if it's a full tear, you have to get it repaired, because when, you know, you know all about ACL tears, it's not easy to do, because they land like this, ACL, PCL, and it keeps the tibia from jolting forward. So any kind of forward motion on the knee, you're not going to have that support, and your tibia is just going to fly willy-nilly.
Mine does that all the time, and it feels gross.
Yeah, and it bothers the cartilage. Just down the road, it's a very difficult thing to do. And obviously, there's braces, there's knee pads, as you know. But for someone like Ciampa, who's at still a young age, he's got to get it taken care of. And it's just very unfortunate that it happened right now when they were about to set up this incredible feud.
That was going to be like feud of the year, probably.
Yeah. So let's hope it's only a partial. And that's it.
I wouldn't be surprised if they kept both of them off TV until Ciampa's ready to come back.
Yeah, they came out and said that they weren't releasing Gargano's medical issues right now. So they could call the time on him whenever.
Ah, good point.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, if that's pretty much it for the news, I think we're going to take a break right now, and we'll come back with the Jeff Cobb interview. You guys going to hang out and talk to Jeff Cobb with us?
I wish I could. I have to drive to Orange County right
now. Damn it. What about you, Bill?
If you want me.
Sounds good. All right, we'll be right back with Jeff Cobb, everyone.
What's up, party people? Roxy Stryer here from The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro. We're your twice weekly broadcast of one man's midlife crisis and the mad millennials in Star Trek uniforms that follow him.
And I'm one of those millennials, Lauren LeGrasso here. We've had some amazing guests like Russell Simmons, Ileana Douglas, and Craig Gass. Coolio, right?
Christian Blatt in the house to tell you to go to thetomorrowshow.com to check us out. We're live every Monday and Thursday from 10 to midnight Eastern. That's thetomorrowshow.com. Be there or be square, whatever that means.
Our guest at this time represented Guam in the 2004 Summer Olympics as a freestyle wrestler in the light heavyweight division. He debuted in Lucha Underground and Aztec Warfare to win the Lucha Underground Championship. He's based mostly in NorCal APW, Pro Wrestling Bushido, Supreme Pro Wrestling, ranked number 50 in a PWI Top 500. Is that still a thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Our guest right now is Jeff Cobb, a.k.a. Matanza.
Lucha Underground's own Matanza, hey, the monster. Hey, Matanza,
I'm usually not the one that gives the introduction, so that was a little rough. I apologize. I'm very grateful that you came on the show today, though. Thank you, man.
Oh, my pleasure, man. Thank you for having me on. And I think you did a great job.
Do you? Okay. Oh, man. So we, right before we came on the air, I was asking you about, because at first I thought you were still living in Hawaii, and I was thinking to myself, man, what a MF-er that must be to fly to all these shows from Hawaii. But no, not now. You're in the Sacramento area now, huh?
Yeah, I did that like two or three shows, like fly out for a weekend and then fly back, and it was rough, man. It's a 5-hour flight from the West Coast, so.
Just to get to Hawaii,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, well, 5 hours from Hawaii just to get to L.A.
Oh,
and then, like,
man.
From L.A. to wherever else you got to go. Oh. If you have a show on the East Coast, that must be brutal. But, Jeff, you know, we know you're a hell of an amateur wrestler and, you know, represented Guam in the Olympics and everything. Did you have a love of pro wrestling before that?
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's why I became an amateur wrestler, because I thought it was pro wrestling. And, yeah, it just blossomed from there. I mean, I was a fan since I could remember. Hulk Hogan is actually the guy that got me into it. I mean, I'm sure he did that for everybody.
Did you grow up in Guam?
No, I grew up in Hawaii.
Okay, so were you GI, like were your dad in the military or something?
My dad was in the Army, but I was born and raised there, and I grew up there, and then we moved to Guam a little bit after that.
And I was just curious as how you ended up representing Guam instead of the United States.
Well, we moved to Guam from Hawaii. We had a little financial problems, and my mom's side is from there, so we ended up just moving in with my grandmother.
I wrestled in Guam one time in like 90, I think it was 94, 95 on the way back from, like we wrestled in you were there?
I was at that show.
At the field house? I was going to ask you, man. It was like a roll of the dice if you were there or not, but I'm thinking like, wow, he's from Guam.
Odds,
I wonder if he was actually at the show the one time I was ever in Guam and you were there.
Yeah, that was 94 because I was... man, I don't want to date myself, but that was in 94. I remember going to school and just wanting to get the heck out of there because I had to go, like, I wanted to be there and just hang out there the whole time. It was awesome, man.
And who'd you wrestle?
Who did I, it was probably, like, I don't know, Rick Martel or something like that. It was somebody that was on the Japanese tour with us. But Jeff, that's the only venue they have in Guam that you can really do anything at, right? That field house. And what is it? It doesn't even have bleachers. It's like, it holds a couple thousand, 2,000-3,000 people.
Yeah. Well, that was actually, that's actually the college field house. I guess they have, it's normally like a basketball, big basketball games go on there. Like the championships for high schools usually go on over there. So.
Is there a bigger venue and we just couldn't fill it up back in the day?
No, that was the biggest venue looking back, it's probably the biggest venue they could have housed something like that.
Yeah. So you thought when you were younger that you had to get into amateur wrestling to be a pro wrestler?
No, I thought amateur wrestling was pro wrestling.
Oh,
wow.
So how'd you feel when you showed up and there was no...
like, where's the Ultimate Warrior face paint?
Where are
the tassels?
Where's the wrestling ring?
Well, I mean, realistically, I thought I was like, what the heck's going on? But I spent all my money buying the wrestling shoes and getting a physical. So I figured I had to stick with it because, I mean, I spent all this money for it.
How old were you?
I was a freshman in high school.
Oh, wow. So you like saved up all your money to buy some wrestling shoes.
So, Jeff, you didn't start in amateur wrestling until you were a freshman in high school. and yet you ended up in the 2004 Olympics. That's pretty insane to me.
Yeah.
Well, that was the only thing I was good at, really.
Now you're pretty damn good at pro wrestling too. I've been on a few shows with you, man.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
So, what was the opening ceremony like? Because you got to be the flag bearer for Guam. How was that, like, experience for you? Just that entire.
Oh, it was great. It was crazy, man. It's like such a crazy experience. But it's like being in the tunnel for the stadium, and we're just waiting, and then they give us the go ahead, and then we're walking, and there's like, you know, it's like I think they said it was like 80,000 people were in there.
Holy shit.
It was just, if that's true, it was 80,000 people, all eyes on each contingent that comes out, and it was such an honor, man. It was awesome, man. It's such a crazy ass experience.
Yeah, I can about imagine like coming out and representing the country you were born in,
literally, and like the flag bearer, the first holding the flag of your country, so all eyes are on you.
And it just being saying that I'm an Olympian, like yeah. That's about as big as you get as far as sports, as far as I'm concerned. Like nobody works harder than Olympic athletes.
Yeah, was getting that tattoo a huge accomplishment for you when you finally got the Olympic rings tattooed on your back?
Oh yeah, I mean, I was, you know, I've never had the urge to get tattoos, but that one was pretty significant for me. So just getting it was pretty awesome too.
Hey, so Jeff. You said you were trained by Oliver John. Was that in Hawaii?
No, that was in Sacramento.
Ah, okay.
Did you train at APW as well with like Mike Modis and Roland Alexander and those guys?
No, APW was the company that I actually flew up from Hawaii to wrestle in. That was in 2012.
So you were going from Hawaii to NorCal and wrestling in NorCal, and then you just decided to move to NorCal because more companies were booking you there?
Yeah, I mean, because like in Hawaii, there's only one company, and they run once a month. And I just figured, I mean, I'd done everything I could over there. I just figured, like I'm not going to get noticed being in Hawaii, like, so far away. So I had to just get to the quote-unquote mainland to get some exposure.
Well, what do you think really got you noticed in that mainland? Because for me, seeing your moves and watching your highlight clips on YouTube, I was like, this guy's awesome. And then I finally heard you were coming to PWG, and then your match with Hiro at PWG, and it just seemed like skyrocket from there.
Honestly, it was PWG that got my name out there more. I mean, like Lucha Underground definitely helped, but it's difficult because I'm under a mask over there. And, you know, I still get people up to this day. And my character debuted like 2 years ago, and I still get people that come up to me today like, oh, that's you. So, okay. I definitely credit the PWG, like the current PWG run to getting a lot more exposure out there.
Was that hard for you to be told, like, we're going to put you in this mask and you're going to be a completely different character? Were you thinking like, oh man, what happens to Jeff Cobb? All this hard work I've been putting into making Jeff Cobb a name and a character, and now I get to be whatever. It's not even like you knew what Matanza was or that he was written so highly for the Lucha show that you were like risking it, rolling the dice, so to speak, not knowing what you were going to do.
You know, at first I was kind of bummed about being under a mask. You know, I didn't really, I mean, at the time when they told me the character, I didn't really comprehend or grasp what it was. But, you know, like at the time, like I was just looking for any exposure to get my name out there. And then I just figured it's just something to expand on me personally, instead of being the same person over and over in every indie company that, you know, I could, you know, as an actor, I guess, you know, try to get different ranges, I guess, or different characters played.
Do you feel comfortable? So, do you feel comfortable under the mask now?
Yeah. I mean, I've done it for so long and so many matches that like I just gotten kind of used to it already.
How hard was it at first? Because if you watch that first mask or that first match, it looks like you pull the mask kind of sideways at moments during it, like you're struggling to breathe.
Was that a big issue?
Oh, yeah, definitely. That sucker is so hard to breathe in. Yeah, like, I mean, I would hope that they edited those things out, but yeah, I definitely, there was a couple times where I was just like, sweet Jesus, it's hot in here.
Yeah, actually.
I mean, plus it's hot. It's hot in general as is in that building. So
yeah,
it was pretty rough at times.
I actually got to see you do a dark match at Lucha Underground as Jeff Cobb, and that was the first time I'd ever seen or heard of you, and I was so blown away at seeing your dark match, and I was just thinking, like, man, this guy's definitely going to get a job at Lucha Underground. And then I got to see one of your first matches in the full Matanza gimmick, and like Jimbo was saying, like, and this was edited out of the show, but I saw you basically pull the whole mask up and suck some air, and I just felt so bad for you because I was saying, like, man, he's killing it out there, but he might be killing it out there.
I mean,
oh yeah, I mean, yeah, there was a time because we watch it in the back of the monitors. And there was one match in particular that everybody kind of, they saw that the camera was right on me, and like I was over there sucking air because it was really hot this one day, and I was dying.
Do you get booked on other shows with that mask gimmick?
No, I mean as of now, it's owned specifically for Lucha Underground, but I mean I think they're trying to work a deal out where, like, companies can book.
So it'd be like how companies
can book the character.
Penta
yeah.
0M and not Pentagon Jr. kind of thing, and Rey Fénix instead of just Fénix, like that situation.
I think it's a whole different situation, Jeff.
Yeah, that theirs is a whole different situation.
Because they were kind of those characters before Lucha Underground, so they could still kind of be those characters out of Lucha Underground.
They left AAA with that. Like,
oh.
They just, yeah, it's a big...
Yeah, that's a big convoluted mess when you start talking about that and the legal, like getting involved in like lawsuits and all that down there. Those things can go on for years. Like, I don't want to go off into the weeds here, but like Máscara Sagrada, like for 15 years was, and I think it's still maybe fighting legally.
The whole L.A. Park, La Parca thing.
Yeah, all of that.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, it's
didn't
just
even think of that.
It gets crazy. But Jeff, I saw you at PWG. Recently, not the last one, but I think maybe the one before, and it was you and Mike.
Him and Riddle?
Oh, was that you and Riddle?
In a tag match?
Yeah.
Against the Chris brothers?
No, who's it? The
Bucks?
No. Effing Machines?
Oh, the Unbreakable Effing Machines, Michael Elgin and Brian Cage.
Yeah. And that was insane, man. And then I saw you guys in when I was at the Cow Palace, when we had that show there. And it was you?
It was recently.
Yeah, but it was a tag match, Jeff. Who were you in the match with? Because I know Cage was in there, and I know John Morrison was in there, and there was another big.
It was a four way for the APW Heavyweight Championship.
That wasn't a tag match.
No, it was a fatal four way.
Okay, it was a hell of a match though. That was the one that people were into the most. That's what I go by. Like, even if you don't watch the match, which I did happen to that one. Like, you can just tell just by what you hear, you know. And the thing I noticed the most is like, you can suplex pretty much anyone from pretty much any position, and I'm just trying to figure out the logistics of that. Like, as far as like, you know, it kind of breaks the laws of physics a little bit, man.
Well, thank you. I honestly, sometimes I don't know how to do it. I guess they say farmer strength or whatnot. But.
Yeah. Yeah, but also I think maybe we get it from the people too. Like, we draw that energy from the people. But I shouldn't say we, because I could never do that in a million years. Did that end up happening on accident one time? I mean, the way you're just going into all these different crazy angles with it?
Yeah, I mean, when I was training to be a pro wrestler, I was trying to, you know, like I like Taz because I like the suplex because I'm not exactly the tallest guy, I'm, you know, out there. So I like, you know, like the shorter guys who could, like,
low center of gravity.
Kurt Angles and yeah, the low center of gravity guys. And, you know, I like those kind of guys. And, like, so I try to patent my moveset based off of, like, off of those kind of characters and whatnot. So, I just figured I'd throw people, and then I figure out different ways to throw people. And, yeah, and hopefully it stuck. And, you know, it's done me pretty good so far.
Different, like, when you say different ways, it's an understatement, man, because I just don't think if someone's never seen some of these suplexes you've done, like, it's just, I know I'm being redundant here, but it's just incredible.
Well, yeah, and how do you come up with, like, okay, I'm going to catch you in a German suplex, and then I'm going to twist you like a baby, and then I'm going to release, throw you behind me? Like, where do you come up with doing some of these moves? How do you practice that?
Really, I really don't know. I kind of just did it one day, and I was like, and people are like, oh, that's pretty cool. Like, okay, well, I'll keep doing it then.
So when somebody's getting ready to go for one of those rides, do they even know exactly what the ride's going to be? Do you even know?
So normally when people ask me, like, you know, if they're talking about a match or whatnot, I'll tell them what I do.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they're like, wait, what? I don't get it. Or if they haven't seen a clip or something, then yeah. I'll just say, hey, just relax. I'll take care of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Sean's totally right. I was one of the things that impressed me so much when I saw that first dark match in Lucha Underground was the tour of the islands is one of the craziest moves I've ever seen, one of the coolest moves I've ever seen. And I'm a huge move nerd, and I just like there's something about taking a power slam and going the other way with it that's so insane looking.
Yes,
and is that one that I mean? Can you take us through like how you came up with the tour of the islands, and also like. Is that a move that you need to make sure that someone else knows how to take properly, or is that just sort of like I'm strong enough, I can do it no matter what?
Well, it's funny because I saw one of my buddies do it in Hawaii. Because he trains currently with Afa down in Florida. Mm-hmm. So, like. He did that during a match, and I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And he's like, yeah, I don't want to use it anymore. I was like, well, then if that's cool, can I use it? So I started using it, as one of my moves because that wasn't my finisher at the time. And then I started getting a little bit bigger and like heavier. And I was like, I can't, my original finisher was like the shooting star from the top rope.
Oh gosh.
And then I was like, you know what? I can't like, that's just not good for my knees and just everything in general. So I switched it up to that. And people, like, there's a couple guys that were saying that the tour of the islands is a lot more impressive visually than, so I just started using that after a while. And for the most part, people take it correctly. I had one guy that, you know, I was telling him, like, oh, so this is how you take it. And I don't worry, I know how to take it. And then he took it the wrong way and his feet were under him when we landed. And that was his fault. So,
oh.
he only sprained his ankle.
Oh man. So speaking of the tour of the islands, Eric Rowan used a kind of version of this on SmackDown, I believe, recently. What are your thoughts on people kind of trying to take, I guess you would say, your move and maybe put their little spin on it and use it, but it's not as cool?
Well, you know what? Realistically, I mean, every move is pretty much a variation of another move, so I don't take it too personal. Because apparently, Michael Tarver used this move before, but I really I never saw him do it. So
yeah, but they didn't do it like you do it, Jeff. You know, you put your own you put your own special little stank on the end of it, and it's I've seen
the
way
super believable too.
It didn't even look like the same move. It doesn't even look like the same move Tarver did back then.
It looks like a video game finisher.
Yeah,
it doesn't look real.
And look, you know what?
Yeah,
you seem strong enough that you could do that to just about anyone. It seems like
you did it to Keith Lee, didn't you? At PWG recently, you guys were both tossing each other around. It was like Godzilla versus King Kong.
Yeah, that was a fun way. I honestly didn't think I could do it for a guy that size, but I guess Sean was saying earlier. I mean, once that adrenaline gets going, you can pretty much do almost anything.
Wow, we're looking at a clip here. We're looking at a clip of some of the moves. It's like a highlight clip of that match with Keith Lee. And,
yeah.
Wow, like, man, yeah. T-boning him right here.
Yeah.
That's a big boy. And then how does it feel when someone like Keith Lee is tossing you around? Because I'm sure that doesn't happen to you very often.
Yeah, it's very interesting because it's a rarity for me. So sometimes I get a little scared. Like I get a little nervous sometimes because I'm not used to being have my body over my head.
It's good to get a taste of our own medicine once in a while, Jeff.
Oh, yeah. It was really fun.
Yeah, I
don't want to keep doing that, but, you know.
Right.
Yeah, both Jimbo and I were
super fun.
Both Jimbo and I were in the house for that match, and that was, I mean, people were having the most fun that match of the entire night. But one thing I wanted to ask you is I wanted to ask you about your WrestleMania week experience this week in Orlando, because this is really your first week, really being like, because I mean, Jeff Cobb really became a name into itself this year, and I wanted to know. This is your first week with high exposure as Jeff Cobb taking part in that WrestleMania week. I wanted to know your general experience and how many matches you ended up wrestling that weekend, because I know Sami Callihan had 11 matches that weekend. I just wanted to know what the workload was like and what it was like to be around that many wrestling fans all wanting to see Jeff Cobb.
Well, first off, I did five matches, I guess. Me personally, I didn't want to run from one venue to the other venue because I'm not a big fan of being rushed.
Me either. I'm with you on that, man.
Yeah. And I wanted to, you know, take it all in, you know, have like the full exposure of it instead of just going from point A to point B to C to D, you know, back and forth. So, you know, I wanted to interact with the fans that came to the specific show. So, you know, like I didn't want to take too many bookings, but I wanted to get, you know, a good amount. So I did five, and it was perfect. You know, like a majority, like four of them were in the hotel that I was staying at WrestleCon. So
that's awesome.
Like I didn't have to travel far. You know, like 10 minutes, I was home already, or 10 minutes, I was back in my room showering. So it was great.
Hey Jeff, I don't want to go backwards too far here, but it was just something I was thinking about, like, you know. You were talking about your amateur wrestling background and going that from amateur, and once you got into pro wrestling, you know, it's a different kind of hard work. How was it for you making the transition?
Physically, I was fine because I was just coming off of. When I started pro training, I just got out of college.
Yeah.
So I was in like probably some of the best shape I've ever been in. So like I was, you know, the physical side of it was fine for me. You know, the bumps, the run, the cardio aspect of it, I guess, like that was fine for me.
Yeah, but you're so much bigger. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off mid sentence. Go ahead.
Oh no. Like the hard part for me was like the psychology of it, of the psychology of wrestling, of pro wrestling, I guess.
Yeah, and I just know that you're quite a bit bigger now than you were when you were an amateur wrestler. Like, got to be like 50, 60 pounds heavier, right?
Yeah, and that I blame WWE for, but...
How's that? Elaborate on that one.
Well, when I was, you know, obviously everybody wants to go to WWE. Like,
yeah.
So I did a little thing with them, and they wanted me to get bigger.
Oh, so, did they tell you that?
Oh. Yeah. Well, this was like when I was like only like 215, 220.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, well, you know, I got to get bigger. I'll get bigger. So I just started lifting more and less cardio. And
did that affect your wind? How was it getting in the ring, Jeff, like as far as like, you know, people can be in really good shape, have excellent cardio, and get in the wrestling ring and blow up in about a minute sometimes, you know, and a lot of that's nerves or just, you know, like, you know, anxiety about like not wanting to screw up and things like that. Do you ever experience any of that?
I know my first pro wrestling match, I was dying. Like it was a different breed. Like you said, you know, being in the ring is different than being in cardio shape or being a weightlifter or whatever. Like, it's tough, man. Like,
and then when your mind starts going really fast, man, it makes you blow up even harder.
There's so many factors.
It's like a weird, like, it's hard to explain. Like, you know, once you, if you've actually done a wrestling match, then you'll see, you'll know the difference. Like the first couple of matches I did was, like, I was dying, but it was great.
I have another question about making the transition from amateur to pro wrestling, especially in light of what you told us about gaining weight. How great a day was it for you the day you realized you never have to cut weight again?
Oh, wow.
Oh, the greatest feeling in the world. Like, never having to, you know, eat a can of tuna for a whole day as my only meal is wonderful.
How do you feel about cutting weight and young athletes having to cut weight, like high school athletes? It just seems really unhealthy, Jeff.
When I was in high school, it was a totally different breed than the high school kids nowadays.
Yeah.
Like when I was in high school, like we would put on like trash bags and sweats and then go run. And now, like, you dare not do that because if you get caught, like, you know, your whole high school is in trouble or you're probably suspended or whatnot. And now they have like a hydration test. So it's a little bit different. Like when I was in high school till now, like there's only a certain amount of weight you can actually drop healthy, per week. So, I mean, it's safer for the kids now.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Well, can we talk about Lucha Underground and returning tonight on the El Rey Network?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
please tell whatever you guys want, man.
Well, we were at a show earlier in season 3 where you fought Dragon Azteca Jr. And it was supposed to be some kind of hardcore.
It was a death match.
It was a death match. I knew it was some very lax rules match. And during this match, you guys are fighting. You fight up the stands. You fight into the like back end of the temple. And you go to punch Dragon Azteca, and he moves, and you punch through this window and slit your arm open. Can you tell us about this situation?
Yeah, so you've seen the amount of glass panels they have up there.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I was like, well, you know what? I could probably punch through a glass window. Not a problem. You know, like, I saw it on The Karate Kid. Yeah, so he did it. So why, you know, I think I could do it. So, yeah, and I just punched through a glass, and I was like, oh, cool. Like, it kind of hurt, and then I felt like warm liquid running down my hand, so it was really weird. And I looked down, and blood was squirting from my wrist, so I was like, oh, crap.
Did they give you the option of having gimmicked glass in there?
You know, they did, but, like, again, sometimes wrestlers overthink stuff. Like, I mean, you've seen the amount of panels they have up there.
Yeah.
Like, I would have forgot which one was which, so.
You would have punched, cut yourself.
Yeah, I took full blame for that one. That was my fault.
So did that screw up the tapings? Because I know that that match had to stop, and then they brought out, I think, Mundo and PJ, and they did a tag match against Rey and somebody else. But with the way Lucha plans on taping and shoots like a TV series, did that throw a wrench in the tapings for like that and the following weekend and waiting for your hand to heal and what they were going to do?
No, because I was cleared like a week later. Hmm. And we ended up filming it like two weeks after the incident. So, I mean, we only had to refilm that one match. So, you know, it wasn't too bad.
Well, that's good. So it wasn't that drastic of an injury then. It just seemed.
Yeah, no, like, I mean, everybody, like, a lot of people, like, commented on it and, like, quote unquote, reported it that I Goldberg myself. So.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. Yeah, when they told me that they saw you do that, I'm like, oh, like the Goldberg thing? Because when Goldberg did it, though, that was a pretty bad. Yeah, I mean, like, he was out for a little while because of that.
Yeah, he said he almost lost his arm or something. So
yeah, his was, I guess it's like the tendon, but for me it didn't. Like, I wasn't near the tendon; it just cut a vein. So it it wasn't as bad as Goldberg's.
Hey, well, go ahead, Jimbo.
Well, I was going to say, there's so much going on in the temple and so many moving parts. Are there any, like, unsung heroes there that don't get the credit they deserve and back in production, or, like, the people that come up with the costume designs or anything involving the temple or working backstage that, man, these guys really don't get the credit they deserve for making us look as good as we are?
Oh, definitely the costume guys. I mean, there's, realistically, there's a ton of people that don't get the credit that they deserve. I mean, just the costume guys, the people that work there in general, that help us with everyday, day-to-day things, like picking us up from the airport, you know, taking us to, you know, to grab whatever we need before the show, picking us up, taking us to the show, you know, just every, like, there's a handful of guys that don't get the credit, but you know, I try to put them over on Facebook as much as I can, like when I tag them in posts and whatnot. So
it's good because, you know, when I went to WWF in 1993, one of the first things that Kurt Hennig, Mr. Perfect, taught me when he took me under his wing was get to know all these production people, because they're the ones that make you look like a star. And so it's really good to acknowledge these people, Jeff. And I'm glad that you brought that up, Jimbo, because, you know, so often, like, none of those people ever get any of the praise they deserve.
Well, how much creative control do you have over your costume as Matanza? Like, did they come to you or like, here are the designs we want, this is the mask we picture you having, or were you like, no, I think I'm going to wear overalls with blood, and I want something more like this, and black out my eyes?
No, well, they had a different costume in mind for me to wrestle in, and I didn't like it at all. Like, it just restricted
what it looked
me
like.
And so it was kind of like a, it honestly, it would have felt like a, like, I guess, like, kind of like a Braun Strowman outfit, like cargo pants and like a cargo pants and a singlet top kind of deal.
With a mask still,
yeah,
or no mask?
I didn't like that at all.
With the mask that you have? Like, with the Matanza mask that you have, but just that outfit?
So did they come up with this one, or was this something that was this an idea you brought to them, saying, no, I don't like that, how about this?
Well, I guess the,
you know, it's like a bodysuit. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that one was actually, they used that for, when they, like, I wear that in the jail cell normally.
Right.
So, and I asked them, like, hey, can I just use this to wrestle? Cause it's, I mean, I'm comfortable in it. And, you know, they just did a little alteration to the cost, to the outfit, and I've been using it ever since.
And it just fits way better than what you were just describing with the Braun Strowman type, you know, with the cargo pants and the, you know, and all of that. Like, that, I can't even imagine you not looking like that now.
Because that's what you picture someone who's chained up in a prison cell by their brother would wear, you know? Looks
very, very evil.
Yeah. Jeff, one thing I wanted to ask you is, I wanted to get your opinion on Matt Riddle, because he's a guy who's just blowing up. He's so in demand right now, and I've never been more blown away by someone picking up pro wrestling as quickly as he has. So I want to get your take on it as someone who's tagging with him and wrestling against him a lot.
Like, if I had one word to describe him, I would say natural. Like, you're definitely right. Like, he picked it up so quick to make that transition from the UFC to, like, pro wrestling. It's kind of ridiculous how quick he's picked it up and how fast he's excelled at, you know, just in the position that he's in, you know? So, I mean, I'm happy to team with him, and I'm happy to wrestle against him, because I like wrestling that kind of style where it's a believable style. So I have no complaints at all. And I have, you know, if I could wrestle him like Jake Roberts mentioned it one time, that he wrestled, Ricky Steamboat like 97 days in a row.
Yeah.
And it was wonderful every time. Like, if I could wrestle Riddle every, like, you know, 97 days in a row, that'd be great too. because it's so easy. Like, we don't have to, like, we don't memorize anything. You know, everything is, like, 95% of it is called on the fly. And, you know, we just figure out a finish and go from there.
Yeah, he's definitely special, like just like you. And I think you guys have excellent chemistry as a tag team. Just off of seeing you just that one time, because it just your relationship is not just in the ring. Like, you guys have great chemistry. Just at like, you seem like you guys are good friends, you know. And you can't fake that, you know. The people don't they know when they see something real.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely fans can see if it's true or not, and you know, we're definitely not like the best of friends because he lives all the way in Philadelphia, and you know, I'm all the way in California. But I mean, like, he's like, we're super cool with each other, and we have the same goal, and just to kick some ass and take some names.
The same goal of retiring Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania.
If I can get that payday, sure, why not?
Well, you've always said you really wanted to wrestle Angle. How close did that come to happening on the indies? Because he was taking indie bookings, and then it said he like stopped at March. And it seemed like you were about to get booked to wrestle against him, but he stopped taking bookings. How close were you to actually getting that match against Angle?
You know, from what I heard, it was pretty darn close, and it just like the timing was just off by a little bit, and unfortunately, like I know in 2015 I was pretty close, but then he ended up getting hurt in one of his matches in England, and I think I was pretty close to last year, but then he ended up re-signing with WWE. So you know, I'm not gonna blame him. I'm not gonna tell him don't re-sign with WWE to have a match with me. You know, so. But you know, I'm happy for what he's done and what he's doing now. You know, it's probably one of the few things I enjoy on Raw is him as the manager or the general manager.
Oh yeah, yeah, he's just impeccable when it comes.
You
to
think
that,
you'll
yeah.
eventually get this match against Angle?
I hope so.
Do you hope it's in the WWE?
You know what? If it is, that'd be great. Because I'm sure more eyes would be seeing that than on an indie show. But I mean, you know, I don't really care. Like, just being able to share a ring with them would be great.
Well, in teaming and working with Matt Riddle, have you learned anything from him and his MMA experience? And have you taught anything to him with all your wrestling background and him being so new?
You know, well, we spent a week in Germany together.
Was that for WXW?
Yeah, and they have we stayed in the dorms, which is like around the corner from where their school is. So we did some wrestling submission stuff like a couple of days while we were there, and he taught me a lot. But the only thing is like if I don't use it constantly, I forget it. So everything he taught me submission wise, it kind of went out the window, unfortunately. But yeah, I mean, he has a great knowledge of submission stuff, and he taught me a couple cool things, but I only remembered one thing that of all the like 10 things he tried to teach me.
What was that one thing? Don't tap.
Oh, it was like a weird chokehold that I haven't used yet, but maybe I might do it down the road.
It's coming.
Hey Jeff, I was just this past weekend. I was at a music festival at the, Josh Barnett, and he was mentioning he had a match with you recently.
Yeah, we did a show in Los Angeles area for AWS, yeah, Southgate, and it was awesome, man. Like Josh Barnett is so good.
Yeah, he is.
I think he's very underrated as a wrestler worker, and he just gets it. Like, he understands, like, he wants like the realism of it. And like, he is so good. I mean, what better? I mean, former UFC champion, wrestled in New Japan, where I would love to go eventually one day. So,
and Josh is one of these guys, like, started fighting at a young age and, you know, still kind of seems like he's in his prime, Jeff, in really good shape.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want to meet him in a dark alley, but
So you guys had a match, and it was a singles match. Do you have many singles matches on when you're out there doing this?
You mean like the quote unquote shoot style, I guess?
Well, no, I mean I imagine you don't have many of those, just because who the hell can you really do them with that, where it's, you know, where people are going to buy it? Like, I'd buy it from you and Josh, but like somebody without the pedigree that you two have, I don't want to see that, you know? But I was just curious, like, because I've only seen you live. I've only seen you in tags or like four-way situations. Do you do many singles matches?
Yeah, I normally do single matches, like when, but that style is rare for me to do.
Right.
Because like you mentioned, there's not many people that can do it realistically. I mean, there's a handful of guys that I train with out here that are pro wrestlers, like a Timothy Thatcher.
Yeah.
Or a JR Kratos. And we do that style on a regular. So
you guys just roll around and have matches like that?
We used to train together when with Oliver John, because he heavily influenced like my career and Timothy Thatcher's career. So, you know, it kind of reflects in our work.
So Josh said that you guys didn't even, you had nothing worked out, just and not even the finish, right?
No, not even the finish. He said, I'm just going to put you in a really painful submission. I was like, oh, God, okay.
So,
and it was wonderful. It was wonderful. It was one of my most favorite matches. It's definitely in my top five now.
So when he puts you in that submission, do you like rush to tap out? Or are you like, oh, man, should I wait till it hurts? Or does it like legit, he like legit puts you in that submission?
Oh, I mean, well, he didn't crank it on to 100, but it was definitely there. Like, it definitely hurt.
Enough to let you know? Do you find it's hard when you guys are trying to work this style of making it really believable that sometimes it might not look so believable because you're in there with a professional who really knows how to hit somebody and he's trying not to like break your jaw when he punches you or really make you tap out and hurt you?
No, not really. I mean, like I said, Barnett as an example, he's so good at what he does that, I mean, if he wanted to knock me out, he probably could have. I mean, I don't think so. I don't think it's that hard.
What other guys like Matt Riddle and Josh Barnett and Timothy Thatcher do you think should be getting more mainstream exposure on the independent scene and booked more places and more notoriety?
There's definitely, like, in the UK, they're, like, I just came back from England, and there's, like, the talent out there is ridiculously, like, they're so good out there.
Amazing out there,
I mean, out in America, I guess, like, one of my buddies, like I mentioned earlier, JR Kratos, he trains with myself and Timothy Thatcher. I mean, he's so good. Like, WWE's been looking at him for 2 years now, and for him not to be doing what I do, it's a shame and it's a crime, I think. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I can't book people. I just recommend people, and it's up to the bookers to use them or not. But yeah, definitely a JR Kratos. A Keith Lee is really good as well. I mean, he's been under the radar for a while, and now he's starting to break out. So
yeah, he's been around a lot longer than I realized, Jeff. Because when I was talking to him at PCW show, after the match, I was giving him a few pointers, and when he told me how long he had been around, I was surprised because I hadn't heard of him, and I was like thinking, wow, this guy's got a ton of potential. Mm-hmm. You know, so
yeah, like he's definitely good. Like I met him randomly, and like we had a show in Rhode Island, of all places, and you know, it was so much fun. He's so good, and he's a big guy that can do a lot of cool stuff, you know. So
one thing I told him, I said, man, you gotta work on them strikes. Gotta work on them strikes, man. Or don't do them, or forearms or something. Because when you especially in front of intimate crowds, man, you gotta bring that.
Yeah, like, yeah. Well, that's what I was getting at with, like, the whole Josh Barnett, when you're trying to, like, make it really believable, yeah. And you're a known UFC champion, and you're, like, pulling punches, it's kind of iffy.
So Josh told me when you guys had that match in Southgate, he told me that the people got with it, but they got kind of antsy at first.
Yeah, because I think they're just, I mean, they put that style of match as the main event, and then they saw, like, seven matches prior that are, I mean, I don't want to say, and I don't mean in a negative way, but the quote-unquote indie match.
Yeah, the spot fest.
And then they see that style. Like, you know, I mean, I think at the end of it, we definitely got them. We hooked them. But, yeah, I think it was just something different, and they don't know how to react to it, I guess.
Well, you teach them, and apparently that's what happened, because I guess, you know, Josh said that, you know, like halfway through, the people were got really with it, you know. So, yeah, it's tough. I don't like going on at the end of the night after everyone's doing all that stuff. And it's not because you can't follow it. It's just because the people get drained, man. You know, they get drained by all that stuff.
They've seen everything.
Yeah.
Well, do you ever have to reorganize a match when you've planned an entire match in the back, and then you're like, okay, well, we can't do that, we can't do that, we can't do that?
You talking to me or Jeff?
Well, both of you. Have you ever had that situation?
Not me anymore.
Not you anymore.
But that's a good question for Jeff now, because he actually still does actually stuff in his match.
So have you ever had that situation? Well,
I mean, there's, like, I've had to change the match a few times, just because, like, again, like, they've seen everything, so I try not to be the same as everybody, and in the sense of, like, match layout or whatnot. But I mean, for the most part, like, sometimes they don't want to see
different.
That. They just want to see your highlight reel. So so sometimes we just say screw it, and we'll go balls to the wall, and then sometimes we'll say screw it, like, less is more, you know.
So Jeff, you're comfortable going out there and just calling it on the fly, or, you know, having it all laid out ahead of time? You're good either way?
I'm good either way. I prefer to call it out there, but I learned this firsthand, like, especially at, like my first day at Lucha Underground.
Yeah.
I was like, we sat down with Chavo Guerrero was our agent. And I remember sitting down with him, and I was like, well, so what are you guys going to do? I was like, we're just going to call it out there. And he's like, well, it's TV, man. It's a little bit different here. Like, we need camera angles and capture it. And I was like, oh, crap. So right. That was pretty rough.
Yeah, that was something I was wondering about.
I can do either way. I prefer to call it on the fly because, you know, you never know with fans how they're going to react to things.
Yeah, I like the stuff that needs structure to be structured, but, like, for the most part, I like to be able to go, like, whichever direction the people tell me is the right way to go.
So, like, bullet points?
Yeah,
as far as, like, for Lucha Underground, it'd be, like, here are the bullet points we're going to hit so that you know where to be at for camera angles, but everything else you guys get to fill in the blanks?
I get the impression... Sorry, go ahead, Jeff, sorry.
No. I love bullet points. Like, they're easier for me to figure out a match. Because, like, I mean, you know, and then I think it's tough, too, because sometimes not everybody can do that, can work on with bullet points, you know, because, you know, what if the, like, you know, midway through the match, like, the fans don't care. You know, you gotta be able to change it on the fly. And a lot of people can't do that because they're so used to A to B to C to D.
And it's so painful to watch when that's going on, when the people aren't buying what they're selling, and they know it, but they don't have anything else to sell them. Yeah, yeah, man. It gets bad. It gets real uncomfortable out there.
Well, in Lucha Underground, you've taken some hellacious falls and done some really cool stuff. That roof, when you and Mill fell through the roof of Dario's office, what was that experience like? Do you get to rehearse that? Or are they just like, no, you got one take at this, and we're just going to go?
Yeah, it was just one take. I mean, the Ricky Banderas or Mil Muertes or whatever you want to call him, like, he's really good.
He's amazing, man.
I mean, Yeah, he's a great ring general, and he knows his stuff. And I remember he told me, he's like when we were on there, right before we went through the roof, he said, like, just hold on, brother. And I was like, oh, God. Yeah. Like, so, yeah. And then we just went through, and it sucked. It sucked, but whatever. You know, it's for the show.
Who were the guys you had the best matches with, Lucha Underground, that you like working with the most? Not, like, trying to say you didn't like working with these other guys, but the ones that really stand out to you, that you had the best chemistry with.
Oh, definitely Ricky Banderas. I like that I like that physical style of wrestling, and he's a very physical guy. Definitely him. Willie Mack is another one that I've had good chemistry with. Ricochet or Prince Puma or whoever you want to call him as. You can't have a bad match with him.
Yeah, you guys have a really good David and Goliath story there between you two.
Yes, I mean, he's definitely one of them, definitely those guys. I like working with Cage because, you know, he's a big dude that can go as well. So,
you know, I mean, the stuff I see him do, I just, like, sometimes I'm thinking to myself, man, I'm glad he wasn't around back when I started, because nobody would have gave two shits about what I was doing. Man, he moves around in there like nothing. In his body, man, like, it's just insane looking. Like, I mean, he's got that rugged, like, you know, the bodybuilder body, but, like, you know, not all shaven down. He's got some body hair. He looks like a man, you know? Like, anyways.
What about working with Rey Mysterio?
You know, I can't not forget about him, but, like, he's one of those guys, like I said, like, he's so good. And at what he does, it's ridiculous. But yeah, I love working with him, man. I mean, it's an honor to work with a guy like him, where, you know, like, you know, I'm just this new guy, and I'm like, hey, my character, I have to suplex you. Are you cool with that? And for him to trust me to suplex him and not hurt him, it's great, you know.
And hey, Jeff, being in there with somebody like that, that the people have this and emotional investment in for all these years, and they care that much about, like, it makes it a lot easier when you're in there with somebody like that. You know, I mean, you notice that?
Yeah. You know, like, going back to the less is more thing, like, he doesn't have to do much, and, like, the crowd loves him.
Because he's already over. He doesn't have to work to get over. He's already over. There's a huge difference between working to get over and already being over. It's two different types of work.
Well, what advice could you give to someone
just come out there
to get
and just
over?
Look around, and he'll be over.
Exactly. And once you get some steam on him, the people are right there. They're already behind him, you know?
And they're waiting for him to come back and kick your ass, essentially.
Yeah, and it's like taking candy from a baby. It's sweet.
So, Jeff, you've got Lucha Underground coming back. You've got the rest of the season, hopefully a season 4 and so on beyond that. But for Lucha Underground and beyond, what are your goals remaining in professional wrestling? Where do you want to take Jeff Cobb in the future, and what are your bucket list items?
Well, definitely Japan. I just feel my style would work there great. I think the Japanese fans would be really receptive to, like, someone compared me once to a Gary Albright. Hmm. I mean, obviously a shorter version, but
yeah, but I see that. I totally see that.
For sure.
Definitely.
And probably with better hair. I can't grow a mullet, but I mean, yeah, definitely. Like, I would love to go to Japan. That's definitely on my, foreseeable future list, or my to-do list. And you know, you know, people always say, you know, like, WWE is like the NBA or the NFL. And, you know, I wouldn't rule going there out. But as of right now, I'm happy where I'm at.
So you're not waiting for WWF to call you?
I mean, don't get me wrong. If they call me, I would definitely entertain the offer.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I definitely want to, you know, I want to see, because, you know, like, once you're with WWE, you're with WWE, you can't go anywhere. And when you're, you know, like a quote-unquote indie guy, you can pretty much go wherever you want to go, or take whatever booking you want to take, you know?
it's good to be an indie wrestler. It's good to be an independent professional wrestler. And you're a busy one, aren't you, Jeff?
I try to stay busy. I mean, bills to pay, you know.
Yeah, how many times a month are you wrestling?
I try to do at least like three a weekend. So, I had 12 shows this past month, and it's been good to me. My bills are paid. I'm having fun. I'm having the time of my life. Traveling to places I've never been or go back because I want to go back.
Yeah, and so you're a full-time professional wrestler, and you don't have to have a second job, correct?
Yeah, just full-time wrestling.
That's what it's all about, man. Honestly, Jeff, that's what it's all about. Whether you're working for WWE, Lucha Underground, Impact, ROH, just strictly independence, or Japan, whatever, it's all about, this is what I'm doing for a living, and I'm good enough not to have another job.
Yeah, it's just the freedom of it. I did that juggle thing for a while where I had a Monday to Friday job, and then I wrestled on Friday, Saturday, Sundays, and I could definitely tell my body didn't like me for that. And just to be able to just wrestle, work three times a week if I wanted to, and just have the weekend, the week off to recover and I can go to the gym when I want to, and I can wake up when I want to, and I can go to bed when I want to. It's a great feeling.
Yeah, and you're focusing. You can focus on this job. To really be successful at what we do, you have to be all in on it. And sometimes people can't help it. They have to have that other job, and they do the best they can. But, ideally, you have to just be 100% focused on this to really, really be successful.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, it's like with anything, it's the more you focus, the more time you put into it, the better your results are going to be.
What was your 9-to-5 when you had a 9-to-5?
Oh, I was working security at a high school.
That's crazy. I mean, it fits, making sense. Do you ever think about going back there now with all your Lucha Underground and Jeff Cobb exposure and people being like, hey, that's that guy from TV?
I ran with that for a while where like some of the kids would see, they would YouTube or they would Google stuff, and they would see my moveset, and they're like, oh, so if I act up, are you going to do this to me? sometimes I'm like, yeah. But it was a good little conversation starter with some of the kids.
Well, I know you'll be back in LA for Bar Wrestling on June 8th. What other shows you got coming up before we let you go? Or what else are you working on that we could plug? We got Lucha Underground coming back tonight.
Well, yeah, Lucha Underground's coming back to TV today. I got I'm doing a San Diego loop this weekend. I'll be in the main event with Rey Mysterio, so that's going to be great.
Where's that?
Down in San Diego for FCW.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a fundraiser for I believe it's a local high school. So
awesome.
And they got Rey Mysterio to come on board, so I'm gonna be in a match with him. So it's gonna be fun. I mean, anytime you can share a ring with someone who's been there and done that.
Is this the first time wrestling Rey as Jeff Cobb?
Yeah. So I'm really excited about that as well.
That should be interesting.
So, oh, you guys are wrestling
every
each other.
Yeah, well, it's like a triple threat tag team match. So there's six of us in the match, but, it's Pentagon and Phoenix will be a tag team. Rey Mysterio and Dragon Azteca are another tag team. So
that's going to rule.
I'm still going to be in the room with him, or in the ring with him. So
nice. I have a feeling that Rey Mysterio and Dragon Azteca are going to come out the victors in that match. Just guessing, Jeff.
Hey, you can't have that, man. It's if they're in San Diego and he's from San Diego, every time your hometown guy always has to lose, right?
Oh, earlier.
Did you read my tweet last night about that? When AJ lost?
I saw some of that. I don't get it sometimes, but whatever.
I don't like that. I'm all about making the people happy. Not screwing with him or screwing with the talent, just to humble him or check his attitude. I've never been a fan of that. But I guess I understand why they do it. It's just not the way I would do it. There's other ways of checking people's attitude, Jeff.
But I think they do that every for every person, right? Like,
damn near,
I
mean, man.
If they did it once in a while, I wouldn't really care too much. But you know, it's like every time. Come on.
Yeah, yeah. Not a fan of it, but that's not. I'm not the boss, so like that's okay, whatever. So hey, Jeff, I really appreciate you coming on, man. Thank you so much.
Hey, oh, thank you for having me on, man. It's been awesome.
And I hopefully I guarantee you we'll see each other somewhere soon. I'm just not sure where it is because I have no clue what my schedule is. So, thanks, Jeff. Hey, thank you so much, man. And Bill Hanstock from Uproxx with Spandex is here. He joined us too. And thank you, Bill.
Thank you,
Jeff. Thank you, man. Have an awesome day.
Hey,
oh, hey, Jeff.
Too,
one more time. Hey, wait.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Give us all your where they can find you on social media. Like if you have a pro wrestling tee store, any of that before we let you go, because I want you to plug all that stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Catch me on Twitter. It's Mr. Athletic J. Cobb. Facebook, Jeff Cobb. Instagram, Jeff Cobb. Pro Wrestling Tees, just search Jeff Cobb. For some odd reason, Matt Hardy stuff comes up when you type in Jeff Cobb, but I haven't figured that out yet either.
You should let them know about that, man. It's affecting your money. Like,
I mean, if I could get that rope for Matt Hardy Pro Wrestling Tees stuff, then that's fine by me, because I'm sure he makes a killing off of those, but... it's weird. Like you type in Jeff Cobb and my picture will come up and then and Matt Hardy. So, and I'm not the Matt Hardy one. So yeah.
Cool. Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Okay, man. Have a great day.
You too, bud.
Sweet. Well, hey, I was going to say we'll be right back, but I don't know if we need to be right back for anything,
I don't think we need
guys.
To be right back. Mark, what do you think?
All right, you guys, we can end it out now if you want.
Yeah, let's do it, man. Hey, hey, Bill, thank you so much,
hey,
man. I appreciate
me,
you coming.
Always
and,
a pleasure.
And thank you for helping out with the Jeff Cobb interview just
my
now because you guys made that. I appreciate it. All right, you guys. Hey, so that's pretty much it for this week here on Xbox 12360. We'll see y'all next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Sean Waltman, producers Jimbo Frank and TK Trinidad, managing producer of AfterBuzz TV Wrestling Mark Donica, and the entire Xbox 12360 staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in. Like us on Facebook, rate and comment on iTunes and YouTube, follow Xbox on Twitter at TheRealXbox, and email us at Xbox12360Show@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the AfterBuzz TV Network. Buzz you later!